Hi, welcome to today's On This Day in Tudor History with me, Claire Ridgway, author of several books on Tudor history. Now I'm taking you back to King Henry VIII's reign today, and we've got the dogs of the village all barking for this occasion. I'm not quite sure why. And now our dogs too. It was on this day in Tudor history, the 12th of October 1537, the eve of the feast of St. Edward the Confessor, that an exhausted Queen Jane Seymour, third wife of King Henry VIII, gave birth to a little boy in her chamber at Hampton Court Palace. For the Queen, the arrival of a healthy son after a long labour must have been an immense relief. Chronicler Edward Hall recorded, "In October, on St. Edward's Even, was born at Hampton Court the noble imp Prince Edward." Charles Risley wrote, "And the morrow after, being Friday and the even of St. Edward, sometime King of England, at 2 o'clock in the morning, the Queen was delivered of a man-child at Hampton Court beside Kingston." Risley goes on to say that a Te Deum was sung in every parish church in London, church bells rang throughout the city, bonfires were lit in every street, the city merchants gave out fruit and wine, the German merchants gave wine and beer to the poor, and a great peal of guns was shot at the Tower of London. It was a day of celebrations for the king and his people. A prince had been born, a healthy prince at that. Letters announcing the birth had been prepared in the Queen's name and under her signet, and were then sent to the Privy Council. They said, "Right trusty and well-beloved, we greet you well, and forasmuch as, by the inestimable goodness and grace of Almighty God, we be delivered and brought in childbed of a prince, conceived in most lawful matrimony between my Lord the King's Majesty and us, doubting not but that for the love and affection you bear unto us and to the commonwealth of this realm, this knowledge shall be joyous and glad tidings unto you. We have thought good to certify you of this same, to the intent you might not only render unto God condign thanks and praise for so great a benefit, but also continually pray for the long continuance and preservation of the same here in this life to the honour of God, joy and pleasure of my Lord the King and us, and the universal weal, quiet and tranquillity of this whole realm. Given under our signet at my Lord's Manor of Hampton Court, the 12th day of October." So that was a letter from Queen Jane herself under her signet. The new prince was christened 3 days later in the Chapel Royal at Hampton Court Palace, and he was baptised Edward. Jane was well enough to receive visitors after the christening, but by the 18th of October, she'd become seriously ill, and she died on the 24th of October, 1537. Now, contrary to myth, Jane Seymour did not die as a result of a caesarean birth or a C-section. The main source for this story is Catholic recusant Nicholas Sander, who in his Rise and Growth of Anglican Schism wrote, "On the 10th day of October 1537, Jane Seymour gave birth to a son who was named Edward. But the travail of the Queen being very difficult, the King was asked which of the two lives was to be spared. He answered, the boy's, because he could easily provide himself with other wives. Jane accordingly died soon after of the pains of childbirth and was buried at Windsor." Now, the original Latin, Sander wrote his book in Latin, is a bit more precise than that translation and mentions the physicians asking the king to choose between mother and son, and after he'd chosen the son, because he could easily find more wives, they used their surgical skills to free the baby, so a caesarean. Now, Sander was writing while in exile in Elizabeth I's reign in 1585, so nearly 50 years later, and he was only about 7 years old when Edward was born. He is not a contemporary source. And he also had a bit of an agenda. He wanted to paint a very black picture of a man who he held responsible for the Reformation in England. And Sanders seemed to be following Nicholas Hartsfield, a Catholic who also had an agenda regarding Henry VIII and who'd written in his treatise on the pretended divorce between Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon in Mary I's reign, albeit that mischance also might be accounted among the other great discomforts and misfortunes of his marriage, that she should also die, though for the safeguard of the child, in such a manner as she did, yea, the child to be born, as some say the adders are, by gnawing out the mother's womb. Now, the only contemporary source to mention this myth is the Chronicle of King Henry VIII of England, which was written in Spanish by an unknown hand and is commonly known as the Spanish Chronicle. The chronicler wrote, "In due time, when the Queen was about to be delivered, they sent to London for processions to be made to pray God for a happy result. And after 3 days' illness, the most beautiful boy that ever was seen was born. Very great rejoicings were held for his birth. But on the second day, it was rumoured that the mother had died, which caused great sorrow. It was said that the mother had to be sacrificed for the child. I do not affirm this to be true, only that it was rumoured." Now, this chronicle is known for its inaccuracies, and it was really the sort of tabloid newspaper of its day, so it has to be taken with a pinch of salt, or rather a large dose. But the chronicler is clear anyway that this story was only a rumour that he'd heard. If a caesarean had been performed, Jane just would not have survived the birth. Yet she was able to receive visitors following her baby son's christening on the 15th of October. It really is just a myth that has grown from anti-Henry VIII, anti-Reformation propaganda. Jane's son Edward was Henry VIII's third legitimate child, following on from Mary, who was born in 1516 to Catherine of Aragon, and Elizabeth, who was born in 1533 to Anne Boleyn. A son, Henry, Duke of Cornwall, had been born to Henry VIII and Catherine of Aragon in 1511, but he'd only survived 52 days. Very tragic. Edward's illegitimate half-brother, Henry Fitzroy, Duke of Richmond and Somerset, whose mother was the king's mistress, Elizabeth Blunt, had died at the age of 17 in July 1536. As a baby, Edward was cared for by Lady Margaret Bryan, who had also cared for his half-sisters, Mary and Elizabeth, and then Blanche Herbert, Lady Troy. When he reached the age of six, he started his formal education, enjoyed the tutelage of scholars such as John Cheek, Richard Cox, Roger Ascham, and several others who were, you know, very influential men. And it seems that Edward was an intelligent child, quite a precocious child. And by the age of 12, he was undertaking work on religious issues and controversies. And he'd even written a treatise about the Pope being the Antichrist, you know, as all children do, really. He became king, of course, at the age of nine on the 28th of January 1547, when Henry VIII died. But sadly, Edward never reached his majority, dying on the 6th of July 1553 at the age of 15. And of course, then causing a succession dilemma, really, in that his device for the succession chose Lady Jane Grey as his successor. But then, of course, Mary, his half-sister, believed that she was the rightful claimant. So that caused all kinds of problems in July 1553. But there you go. On this day in Tudor history, King Edward VI was born at Hampton Court Palace to his mother, Queen Jane Seymour. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I do hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget to subscribe so that you can enjoy podcasts on a daily basis. Thank you.